Welcome to the tax update for the week commencing 11th November, and we have five items to cover in 5 minutes, but as usual this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which in themselves contain links to more reading should you wish to do further research. HMRC has published guidance on apportioning the price on a transfer of a business where a composite sum is paid. Now, this is quite common in things like residential care homes and public houses. And it's important that you get the tax right, because the difference between a balancing charge taxed at, say, 45% and entrepreneur's relief and a capital gain for the goodwill at 10% is substantial. It runs to 19 pages with 4 pages of examples, and it's well worth a read. The government has also announced plans back in September to tackle avoidance schemes which use the transfer pricing rules and the compensatory adjustment rules to obtain a tax advantage, particularly for large partnerships, where the adjustment in the partnership meant it was taxed at the corporation tax rate, and the partners were then still able to extract the retained profit by way of drawings, having only paid the corporation tax rate on it. This has been stopped from the 25th of October, and draft legislation has been published by the government at that date. Now, I've summarised a fascinating case about the legal costs of a partner being allowed for tax purposes. And it's interesting because Peter Vaines was a partner in a firm in London, but he had previously worked for a German legal practice which went into liquidation and was being sued by its banks for €17 million. So Mr. Vaines entered into a settlement arrangement paying £215,455 to settle all claims against him by the German banks. And he then claimed this as a deduction to enable him to continue in his professional practice, because if he hadn't made this settlement, he would have been forced into bankruptcy and would have been denied the ability to practice. HMRC were trying to deny the payment on several grounds, including that the payment was capital, that it was too remote from his solicitor's practice in London, and that there was a duality of purpose for his own personal bankruptcy, and therefore it was not whole and exclusively for the purposes of his decision, of his profession. Now, the decision is an interesting contrast to the Duckmanton decision, which I reviewed in the tax update of the 23rd of September, because in Mr. Duckmanton's case, the poor man was basically the owner of a business, and one of his lorry drivers driving a large transporter lorry killed a pedestrian. But he was then charged with criminal misconduct and negligence and had to defend himself at considerable cost. But Mr. Duckmanton was denied a tax deduction for the considerable costs which he incurred in proving himself innocent of gross negligence and manslaughter. Here Mr. Vaines has been successful, because the FTT found very early on as a fact that his purpose in making the settlement was to allow him to continue in practice as a solicitor, as bankruptcy would have stopped this, and any incidental benefit that Mr. Vaines obtained personally was to be ignored for tax purposes, so he got his deduction. Another interesting observation is that the Public Accounts Committee has grilled senior staff of HMRC on HMRC's performance, concentrating on the tax gap of $35 billion, the very low yields compared to what was expected from the Swiss-UK tax settlement agreement, and a number of other matters. Interestingly, at the CBI conference, Mr. King, the head of Sainsbury's, said that tax is a moral issue and that there's a moral obligation for companies to pay tax. But returning to the Public Accounts Committee grilling of the three senior officials, I was slightly amused to read in Hansard the report at 5:15 on the Monday evening that Margaret Hodge, the chairman of the committee, asked, "Is it true that you once said taxation is legalised extortion?" of Mr. Troop. Now, Mr. Troop is the Tax Assurance Commissioner. And it is true that he said that. That's words from the past that will haunt him, I'm sure. But finally, some good news. HMRC has published Agent Update, Volume 38. And at 12 pages, I think this is an essential read for accountants. There's a number of really good articles and links to developments, so it's definitely worth a read, and the link is in the notes. Thanks for listening.